Maintenant, si vous le voulez bien, nous pouvons procéder à 5 bonnes minutes ou un petit peu plus de questions ou d'échanges avant de passer à une présentation convergente que Florence Jussot nous fera tout à l'heure. Florence Jussot, membre de l'équipe française de CHER, l'autre consortium traitant de société et de vieillissement, de santé également, et professeur d'économie à l'Université de Paris-Dauphine. Mais ce sera tout à l'heure. Maintenant, question sur la présentation qui vient d'être faite de ces résultats avancés du module de European Social Survey de cette année. Je vous en prie. Catherine, alors...
I have two questions for you. The first one is about statistical techniques you used. The second one is it possible to use this data at another scale than at the national scale, at NUTS 3 or something like that?
Hello again. Yes, to your last question first. One of the papers that will be published in the European Journal of Public Health actually uses NUTS. It is a bit problematic. There are some for some countries where we cannot. Well, we try to get some advice for which countries are these regions not so representative, so to speak. We have still presented results for all the countries, but carefully have written that these are more or less reliable in different countries. To your first question, for this booklet, the statistical analysis have not been as advanced as they are in the public health special issue that will come, because here we have presented prevalences, right? So we have calculated age standardized prevalences, but with respect to the contributions of determinants to explain health inequalities, we have done predicted probabilities, not odds ratios, for example. I think we stopped doing that a couple of years ago. There were some studies showing that odds ratios are not really comparable between countries because they are very sensitive to how many people actually report poor health or good health. So, but standard techniques, nothing too fancy, but solid.
Thank you. S'il vous plaît.
Thank you. I'm Maria Valavo from the European Commission. Thank you very much for the interesting presentation. I have three questions. First, have you compared these to some of the results you can get from EU Silk? You have their health status variable. Then secondly, I'm curious, there was this variable on previous smoking, and you see that in Nordic countries, the prevalence is very high. So is it actually a good thing that you have a lot of former smokers who are no longer smoking? So I was curious about that. And then I had a third thing, which I already forgot, sorry.
Oh, it's a good thing. I might forget your first question if you would come with your third.
You got the second round.
The one of the articles that we are publishing is doing that. It's comparing not only with USILC, but also with the European Working Conditions Survey, and one more survey. I'm not sure if it's share, but there were four surveys that we were comparing, and the conclusion is that it really depends on the survey you use. The results might differ, so we have to be careful about which survey you use and what that implies. Of course, with share, it's a different age group, but. There are different methodological challenges to the different surveys. So, and there are the data is collected at slightly different times, but yeah, you can wait and see and read the conclusions, but it does depend. With respect to smoking, yes, as you could see here, actually, Norway is still has the blue bar very, very high up, and that's because of previous smoking, not because of current smoking. I think smoking is an epidemic that eventually will disappear from our societies, maybe be replaced by something else. But we are in a stage of the smoking epidemic, which still has a lag effect, so we are still suffering from previous smokers, and that affects not only self-rated health, but also mortality. So we see the same results when we use mortality data, and we look at lung cancer, for example. So it's a good thing that we have so many previous smokers. The alternative would be to have current smokers. So I might disagree slightly with you, but I get your point. Yeah.
Thank you. Alain Fontaine, pardon, Madame. No, je vous en prie, allez-y.
I'm Emmanuel Cambois. Thank you very much for this presentation. And I was willing to carry on the previous question and comparison of different surveys. And I've seen that the response rates are very varying from one country to another. And did you make an analysis of how far are different the non-respondents? And is there is some methodological papers that helps using this data and having some thought about differences that may be due to that?
Yeah, and also by definition, so the lower the sample, the more skewed you would get. So the more resourceful people always tend to be those who answer. So with Germany down to 30%, that's really problematic. I don't know what happened in Germany, but that's not good. But we're still keeping them in the analysis, and I think we should do that. I think we should always include all the data which is there, and then enlighten the limitations that really is there. But I think we don't have any publications on that. We have the European Sociological Review article you saw. We have addressed it there, but not really gone into depth and adept about it. I think it's too soon to see those articles coming out. But there are many articles we can rely on that tells us that the lower the sample, the skewer the distribution. So, definitely. I think the aim was about 70%, and I think Israel met that aim. And then there were three or four other countries close to 70. But of course, we cannot force people to answer. Or can we, Rory?
Thank you. Alain Fontaine.
Yes, thank you for this presentation. Just one methodological question to make sure I understand. This graph is quite impressive. I was just wondering, you're treating these factors as independent from each other, right?
Yeah.
Behaviors are independent.
Sorry?
This shows behaviors.
These should be independent effects, yeah.
And do you believe that's actually the case? I mean...
No.
So could you think of analytical strategies that might allow to explore... Yeah. Yeah. How much of the effect of the occupational or environmental factor is actually mediated through behaviors?
No, I think there are techniques. There are techniques, and we did that already in the past. But the problem is that you can do it analytically, but at the same time we have to think about the substantial interpretation. So if you look at behavior and the workplace, for example, you can try to distinguish them, but then it might be that in some occupations there are more smoking behavior in some, so they are really overlapping in essence. So choosing a different analytic strategy would not prevent those from smoking at their workplaces. So there will still be, there is still an overlap in real life. But I understand your point. There are ways to make this go below 100%, of course. But this is the way that we chose to present these results. So
it might change the interpretation.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah.
Thank you. Dans le fond, là-bas, Amélie, il y a un monsieur qui veut... Tout au fond, dernier rang.
I'm Lars Lieber. I'm head of the chair of the methods board of ESS. When you did this analysis,
I did not do it.
Oh, pardon?
Yes. Continue, please. Sorry.
Yeah.
When we did. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When you and your colleagues did this analysis, did you find any results from any countries suspicious or surprising in some sense, things that you really didn't believe in? That's my first question. My second question is that you mentioned about the cures: quit smoking, quit eating, start exercising, and that they are sort of short-time solutions. And if I understood you right, you mentioned that it would be good to know more about the root causes of these behaviors.
Yes.
And that could change the future if you found out about those root causes and could do something about them. Is that right? That's how I interpreted it.
Yes, exactly. That's the way we wanted to highlight it. And of course, the root causes are those that... But from the societal perspective, they are the causes of the causes of the causes, which is also why it does not add up to this percentage, because smoking or alcohol consumption, it depends on where you live, who your friends are, your network, what your childhood conditions were like. So this is exactly the interpretation, but it's also a very I wouldn't be very popular among social epidemiologists or in the public health field always by claiming this. This is of course the more sociological perspective. So, but I have to admit something. I did expect that I would not find behavior important at all, but it is. We see that in 8 countries, it actually is the most significant, it explains the most significant part, even after adjusting for living conditions and occupations. So I would not say it's not important. It's actually much more important than I thought. But at the same time, I can go to those conferences telling them that, well, occupation and living conditions is more important together than behavior, according to these results. They might, of course, tell me that, well, these are self-reported results, and we have mortality data. I can tell them that, well, you don't have the determinants in your model, so how can you know? So this would be a debate. I mean, where is your strongest beliefs in the, what kind of data do you trust the most? So, but I think this adds really importantly to the existing and quite dominant epidemiological research. I agree with your interpretation. I know you had a first question.
Did you find any?
Yeah, we did. But luckily, we detected them before we came this far, and I hope they we will not see them now. No, so we of course we had extensive testing, and during this testing, we found some really suspicious things that we have cleaned up . In the later process, we have seen it a couple of times, but then it has been some coding problems. And at the moment, I hope that there are no mistakes. I strongly hope there is nothing. We have really worked now for so many years with this. But of course, it can be a detail or two, but we haven't seen that yet. We have to remember that this is about the whole picture. And there would be no mistake that will substantially change the overall interpretation of these results that I don't believe. But of course, it can be that some prevalences are a bit lower or higher. But this is, I think this is a very solid health survey in a sociological survey. And I think that's really historic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking one step further. If you compare two neighboring countries, for instance, did you find anything that was surprising when you compared Sweden and Finland, for instance, or other neighboring countries? Oh, I didn't expect this to happen.
No, okay, yeah, I know. So
yeah.
Well, there are some surprises, which you will read more about in a few weeks, I guess. Is the easy way out? No, there are, but there are no really shocking things I could tell you. But yeah. Well, maybe if I start, then I will never end, you know. I really like one of the 16 papers, which examines unpaid care. So the amount of time you spend taking care of your family members or friends or colleagues because of sickness or mental illness or because of age. And what we see is that in the Nordic countries, they are the most, they care the most for those. So I was really surprised. Why? Because we have all the universal health services and then they take most care of people at home. But then, and it was actually the least in the south where I would expect it to be higher. But then we looked at intensive care. And the intensive care are those that spend, say, more than 12 or 13, I don't remember how many hours, 12, 13 hours a week. And then in the Nordic countries, it was almost nothing. And in the south, it was a lot. So you see this reverse pattern. So I think that was quite an astonishing finding. And my interpretation is that, and we also saw that the mental health problems were strongly related to unpaid care, to the intensive carers. So if you spend a little time taking care of your family, it's good for your health, probably because of social network reasons, you engage with your family and so on. But if you become an intensive carer, really do it more as a habit because you have to, of course it has dramatic consequences for your mental health. So when you got deeper into that, we saw the other way around and really how the mental health related to that. So I think that was surprising and quite interesting. But then there are 15 other papers, and I think each paper has one of two of these. Yeah.
Thank you. Dernière question, Madame Pornet.
Oui. Carole Pornet, public health physicians in. OK, en français. donc, Carole Pornet, médecin santé publique à l'ARS Normandie. J'aurais deux questions. Je rebondis sur la question d'Emmanuel. En ce qui concerne EUSILC, est-ce qu'il est possible d'utiliser les résultats de ISS à un niveau infranational, donc régional, contrairement à EUSILC? Et deuxième question, comment vous avez sélectionné, peut-être que j'ai raté un épisode, comment vous avez sélectionné les items qui composent les items que vous avez listés là, des concepts, et notamment vis-à-vis du tabagisme, parce que vous parlez du nombre de cigarettes, etc., mais il manque, à mon avis, la durée d'exposition, ou du moins la durée de consommation, qui me semble plus importante que le nombre de cigarettes fumées par quotidiennement. Merci.
Yeah. To your last question first, which is more fresh into my mind. Well, Rory, we spent 3 years figuring out how to define smoking, and I don't know how many suggestions we had. But I think we wanted to capture many dimensions of smoking. So. Not only how many cigarettes, but whether or not one is an occasional former smoker. So it's both about the quantity and the quality, so to speak. And we relied on previous surveys on this question. And we also relied on the limitations that other publications had found that used these measurements from these other surveys. So I cannot say now and why we did this and not the other thing. I think because of the because of all the years we actually worked on these variables. But Rory, if you can help me out, if there is one thing that we should mention.
I think the primary driver here is the load.
The primary driver, this choice, was the limited number of items we had for this concept. So we could have had a more extensive set of questions, but we wanted to limit this to two. So you could have gone into more detail, but these were felt to be the essential two items on this topic. Yeah. I didn't quite catch what the other suggestion was.
No, there were no suggestion, I think. But
the questioner said something about the time of day or?
Well.
To preview in the past. Yeah, you could have asked that as well, but that would have been another item.
Yeah,
you are strictly limited to 30.
I think, we had that on the list, but we had to exclude it eventually. We also even discussed passive smoking. We even discussed the e-cigarette smoking.
And cigars, pipes.
And we discussed the kind of Swedish, the tobacco. I think we went through everything, but eventually we had to balance the variable with all the other items. Now, the question regarding EU Silk, I would not. If the purpose is to compare regions, I would use EU Silk instead of the European Social Survey. But it depends if you're talking which regions you're talking about. If you're talking about countries as region, or if you're talking about the nuts regions, and it depends on your perspective. So availability of variables, for example. I think the ESS has a pole position now with health and their social determinants on a country level. But if the aim is specifically to compare regions and nuts regions, maybe EU-Silk is better. We are using EU-Silk in our group also, and it is also a fantastic data source. And I think we also should thank the European Commission, actually. We had a meeting with them during the development of the module, and they encouraged us to include some items that we originally did not plan. For example, the use of GPs and specialists. I think they really insisted we need that, and we eventually found a place for that. So in the whole process, we have tried to balance the views of ourselves and others, the team. I have to admit, so far, I cannot say there is something we should have asked. I will come to that stage. I will say we should have done that. But so far, we are not there. We have. It's the payback for thorough work over so many years. But maybe in the future, if we decide to apply again, then of course we will have to do the whole process over again. But I think it would have to look very similar to this one. I'm very happy with the result. And some of the variables have also been asked in the ESS before, such as dimensions of mental health, for example. So it's now for the first time we can see trends on depressive symptoms, because this is the third wave that applies depressive symptoms. So we have also enabled other opportunities by adding some of these questions.
Thanks a lot, Hergé.